Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Gareth Martin today.
Hello.
Well, today, Monza, we hoped that after the sprint race, kind of snooze fest yesterday, which they just ran nose to tail, to be honest, apart from people obviously having to go to the back because engine penalties are ghastly, we binned it. We hoped for a slightly different race today. I can't say today's race was hugely exciting. It was intriguing. And I enjoyed the race, so it gave us what we wanted, but not the race we wanted. But certainly there was enough interest in pit stops and strategy, which really we shouldn't be talking about. We should be talking about, wow, that was a great race, because they were racing each other instead of going, well, he managed his tyres quite well, and the pit stop strategy, how they started, was quite good. But it's what we talk about, because that's what we can talk about the race and really a certain extent. We will cover some things. So, the start of the race, Gareth. Max Verstappen in pole position after Bottas went to the back of the grid. And as Derek would say, it's Red Bulls to lose.
Who says that?
Derek says that. Derek did also say that we expected...
I may have heard that.
He's got a marketing campaign going on that at the moment.
T-shirts are available.
It is true what he says. They had an open track in front of them. They maybe didn't have the fastest car, but as they saw yesterday, even being close to the car in front, right strategy, you could probably actually... Max... For the win, yeah.
I think by the end of yesterday, they were in a good place, and they were certainly in a better position than I think they ever expected to be in, right up until the lights went out today. And the lights apparently did go out.
Very quick today, actually. They normally held a lot longer than that maybe caught Max, I'm not too sure. The start off the line, Daniel Ricciardo, his first front row start in...
Cracking start, yeah.
Donkeys and a sniff for a win, certainly. He basically put himself into a race-winning position. They run into the first bend, gave Max enough space. They all kind of got through safely enough. But that was it. We got Ricciardo in front and then Max, and then a wee bit further behind with Norris and Hamilton. And the four of them kind of fell into a position where, kind of follow my leader,
yeah.
But we had the one fly in the ointment for Red Bull and Danny and Norris. We had Hamilton starting on the hards as they had done Bottas at the back. And again, with the change in the weekend, the sprint race coming into the race here, when they take off the covers, we then find out, oh, he's on the hard tyres. But thinking about it was a pretty good strategy call by Mercedes.
Cracking call to go for. And one, I don't think anybody actually expected it.
Clearly, otherwise, they'd have put Max on the hards as well. But I think they were thinking, our main threats are going to come from maybe the McLarens, but Hamilton's always going to be a threat, even in fourth. You're right, I think they must have thought Hamilton going to medium, Bottas maybe hard for the back. But the four of them, once they'd set off, there was a bit of a gap between Max and Norris. But overall, Ricciardo and Max, there was a couple of attempts, but he was never going to get past them.
No.
The power of the McLaren engine was keeping him safe enough that over the lap he could make it. So by the time Max got DRS, he just wasn't close enough. And we saw a kind of similar setup with Norris and Hamilton. We saw it yesterday when Norris was on the softs and Hamilton was on the mediums and couldn't get past because of the tyre difference. And now the rules were reversed, but I mean, to be fair, Hamilton actually looked like he had the faster car, even on the hards.
At times he did. I think there's no denying that the McLarens were set up perfectly this weekend.
Yeah.
They have performed so well, both of them. It's disappointing to see that actually these races, we've got these amazing tracks, and we've got cars that just cannot pass each other. And unfortunately, it does come down to strategy then.
Yeah, and we talk about tyres and strategies and stuff, and it's not what we really want to be talking about. No. And that's obviously the change to the 2022 car. So hopefully when we come back to Monza next year, we can have a different conversation about it. So the race behind, we've got Bottas was coming through the field. We'd say Gasly obviously had to go to the back yesterday. He was a DNF. Wartoni Tsunoda, he was a DNF, didn't even get the car started. There was a brake issue.
Yeah.
And... really, I mean, AlphaTauri's day went from bad to worse once Gasly had to DNF. But at the front, those four were opening up a bit of a lead, and it didn't really get interesting until we actually got to the pit stops. So we were looking at maybe the mediums being a step change to softs at 23 to 33, but by the time most of the medium runners got anywhere near lap 25, so between 20 and 25, they realised that they would have to go to the hards.
Yeah.
The softs weren't going to see it to the end unless you were going to do a two-stop and just lose too much time. So yeah. It was going to be a medium to hard for nearly everybody else on the grid, and Hamilton and Bottas would be looking at a hard to medium strategy. Now, we got Ricciardo came in first. He was obviously in front of Max Verstappen, and they told Max to do the opposite, I suspect.
Yeah.
And in comes Ricciardo, gets on his hard tyres, back out lap 23. Verstappen comes in lap 24. He goes for his mediums to hards. Unfortunately, Red Bull, who usually have these fantastic pit stops, an 11-second pit stop, there was a problem with the front right, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Whether there was actually a problem or whether the software or the wheel gun was telling them not to release them, it wasn't on properly.
Certainly seemed to be, because the mechanic was kind of waving the gun about.
He was like, it's done. What are you waiting on?
Yeah.
But an 11-second stop, and unfortunately, Max Verstappen then came out quite a bit down the field, went for second to 10. There were still people in front of him that still had to pit stop, but he dropped, obviously, so much time that McLaren were then like, well, bring in Norris. Norris is back out. No problem, mediums to hards. And Hamilton sitting on his hard tyres, leading the race. And this really is the turning point
of
the race.
With a ton of life in them. A
ton of life in the hard tyres, because, I mean, why would you bring him in on hard tyres at the same time as all the medium tyre runners are coming in? It makes absolutely no sense. He's got maybe another 10 laps worth at decent speed.
At least.
We know Hamilton can manage the tyres. He could have pushed that car, even if it was five laps on the hards versus new mediums coming out. Everybody else is running maybe in some traffic or not quite clean air. Hamilton's at the front. And he has this window, but they decided to bring him in at the end of lap 25, start of lap 26. Makes no sense whatsoever. They maybe saw a gap. I could see that. They maybe saw a gap.
They were the only ones that seemed to see it then.
Yeah. So Hamilton goes in, gets pit stop. It was a slightly slow pit stop, yeah. 4.2. Yeah. They just had Bottas in as well. 2.7 for Bottas. Hamilton gets a 4.2. It did look like the pit crew were, let's just do this nice and slow.
But we've seen that with Mercedes before.
Yeah.
Their pit stops, they can be very...
Don't want to screw the pooch on.
No.
So, Hamilton comes out of the pits. And clearly, Mercedes, with all their computing power and wealthy knowledge on the pit wall, are going to put Hamilton in a clean air.
You would think.
Instead of that, they put him on the exact same piece of track as Verstappen.
Couldn't you have got it any closer?
If somebody had said put him at the track at the same point and intentionally do it, they would have completely screwed it up. And this was then the problem we had. Max Verstappen coming up the main straight on what was on hard tyres, but they were up to his temperature. He was up to speed with them. Hamilton's coming out on mediums that, let's be honest, although they've come out the tyre blankets, they are not up to temperature.
Yeah, cold.
We're getting to the first bend, and we're not going to apportion blame here. We will say what we feel and what we think. But overall, it was two kids squabbling over the one piece of track.
This is what they're going to have to learn. They need to finish to score points. And, whether you want to point to one driver or the other, doesn't make a great deal of difference. They need to give each other space.
I think how this will go, it'll be similar to Silverstone, although it's a completely different incident, but it'll be... Hamilton fans will turn around and say, give him space on the inside, and what else do we want him to do? Let's be honest, Hamilton was on tyres that weren't up to temperature. Maybe he went in a wee bit too deep to the bend. But likewise, Max, I'll go around the outside, because Hamilton will leave me space.
Of course he will.
That's definitely what's going to happen. Hamilton's going to go into that first bend, and he's going to give me a whole car's width on the what will be Hamilton's left-hand side, which is the outside of one, the inside of two. No problem. But that wasn't the case. Although, looking at it, he gave him, I think, 3/4 of a car width. Unfortunately, it put Verstappen onto the sausage kerb on the outside of one, which completely unsettled the car. Max kept, to be fair, Max obviously kept the power in. Instead, he actually tried to brake and maybe come back. He kept the power on to try and get the inside of turn two, but unfortunately the sausage kerb completely unstabilised the car. And then they had a coming together. Max's car goes up over the top of the Merc, and both of them got wiped out. And both of them are to blame, I would say, 50-50. If you're a Max fan, you'll say it's Hamilton, dirty tricks again. If you're a Hamilton fan, you say it's Max, can he understand? Max was on the radio saying, look, this is what happens when he doesn't give me space, but I just, this is the pinnacle of motorsport. If you're going to run the outside of a bend, even though you then got to maybe get the inside, you're putting yourself at risk. We saw it in Austria. We saw how many cars try to go around the outside. 5 second penalties being handed out, another rest of it. Maybe you just want to back off. Now, two things. This race was, and Derek said this yesterday, believe it or not, it was Mercedes to lose. Mercedes was stronger at this track.
Yeah.
Hamilton was in the far better position. He was coming out in tyres that were faster, that he was coming out in the medium tyres. He was the faster car in open air. But that medium versus hard tyre advantage with lower fuel, if Hamilton had gave Max that bend, do you think Hamilton would have got him at some point in the next two or three laps?
I would like to think that Hamilton is now sitting, reflecting on what's just happened, and thought, do you know what? Give him the corner. I'm on mediums.
Yeah.
A brand new set of mediums. He's on hards. Let him go and I'll pick him up.
He's behind him. We're Merck engine. We saw that the Merck was strong this weekend because even the Red Bulls were strong to get past the McLarens with the Mercedes engine. So we know that even, I said coming into the weekend, I thought maybe Honda would have at least an equal power on the engine, but that they were just missing. Like
they were just off.
They were just missing. So yeah. Hamilton could have actually conceded the corner and they would have had DRS with softer tyres. And I just think it was a brain fade. He's made the wrong decision. Max could be the aggressor because he was coming down there with what would be an up to speed
and up
tyres,
yeah,
temperature, brakes, etc., etc. But then likewise, Max is ahead in the World Championship. And if Max has the confidence in his driving, let's be honest, from that point in the race, both of those drivers had the potential to win this race, either with teammates, cars in front, or even just screwing the nut in their driving and being defensive. We saw Charles Leclerc and Hamilton. Hamilton was in a faster car 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stuck behind Leclerc. So there was nothing to say that Max Verstappen could have not got his cell obviously in front, but likewise, I think he had the potential with DRS to get past Hamilton as well and maybe play the longer game. He would have had to have waited and been more patient to have his opportunity, whereas Hamilton would have probably taken his opportunity in two or three laps.
Yeah, I think because they were on the mediums, he'd have had a bit of an advantage there. So you can see the thinking behind it. I don't know that there was a lot of thinking. There's no question about their driving skills. And their confidence in their driving skills.
Yeah, as we keep seeing.
Look, and I think that's the problem, is just, you know.
You know what the problem is?
They won't give an inch.
As fans, we keep talking about we lose these races that we're expecting. We saw it with Spa, where the rain affected it. We saw it Silverstone, Hungary, where accidents and stuff get in the way. And in this incident, we had what was going to be, because let's be honest, the first set of half of the race up to the pit stops at lap 25, we're sitting there and it's okay to watch and we're, well, it's intriguing, the pit stop, yeah. And you're like, right, okay, the second half of the race is going to be the reason we're watching this for. And the two protagonists in the championship take each other out and we'll get on to how the rest of the race finished. But from the point of view of trying to see the two world championship contenders duking it out, it's been taken from us because the two of them can't seem to
share the same track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, as you said when we were watching it, if this is going to be the rest of the season, they might as well just turn around and give the championship to one of them now. They're just going to take each other at the rest of the season. We're not going to see races that we're entitled to, deserved as a paying public to actually watch this. The stewards are going to look at it after the race, but I can only put it down to a recent incident myself, Gareth.
I don't see it being anything else.
The sausage curb on the inside maybe had a part to play if that hadn't been there.
Sausage curbs, we've spoken about these before and we've seen them at several tracks where actually the sausage curbs are I suppose it's a dangerous sport, but they seem to add a wee bit of danger. Because it was that sausage curb that actually threw the car back onto the track again, and that was when the two rear wheels came together and sent Max up into the air.
You know what the problem is? Sausage curbs and these sleeping policemen that they put in places in the inside of the bends is because the drivers couldn't of their own accord stay within the lines.
Well, we've seen...
Oh, Perez. Yeah. Perez just seems to forget what a bloody track is. But yeah, I mean, they've been put into place to stop them cutting the bends. because over the space of a race, I don't think even the stewards can keep up with all these things and start doling out 5 second penalties every two laps. It's just not feasible. And then after the race, you're like, right, so he had 25 second penalty. He's had six. And then you get to a point where you're like, well, if it's a 5 second penalty, if you nip around that bend,
how much do you gain?
Yeah, you could gain 5 or 6 seconds. So your net gain is actually more than the penalty. I don't know. It'll be discussed time and time again. But what it does do, we've got to look at the positives here. It gave us actually just a small swing in the championship. Max picked up a couple of points in the sprint race yesterday. So it actually leaves the championship 2-2-6 for Max and 2-2-1 for Hamlin. There's only a 5-point difference between the two on our way to Russia. So we've got to take the positive and say it keeps them close together.
Yeah.
If one had went out, parked up, DNF for one, and the other one jumps 25 points ahead, be huge swing in the championship. This keeps it close. But that was it. That effectively ended the two protagonists for the championship's races. Max's car mounted over Hamlin. We see the benefit of the safety things in place. Hamlin maybe got a bump in the head with Max's rear tyre, but the halo saved Lewis from what could have been maybe a serious incident if the wheel was still spinning, his head get kicked to the side. But then, this then gives us the second half of the race, and now we've got Daniel Ricciardo in first place, thinking, Dancer, I've not got Max, I've not got
he's
Lewis
to worry me.
We had the Ferrari behind him, we had Leclerc sitting in second going, how am I here?
Yep.
Because they had to obviously put... it was actually a virtual safety car they did under. The safety car.
Safety
but
car
a virtual safety
one, yeah.
car. Safety car for that and a virtual safety car later on. But Leclerc got into the pits and actually got his pit stop done during that. Norris is sitting in third thinking, I've lost out here a bit. And Perez is sitting in fourth. And we've got a second half of the race, which I don't think was an exciting second half of the race, but it was close.
Better than the first half.
It was better than the first half. Because we wound up with six cars that potentially could win the race if they could get some momentum. We've got Bottas in there, and we've got Sainz. So we've actually got the two McLarens, we've got two Ferraris, we've got a Red Bull. Perez is obviously trying to get points for the team, getting the podium. But unfortunately, Perez, again, the same crap that he pulled yesterday, overtook through the rumble strips, complains afterwards, he didn't give me space, and didn't hand the place back this time.
It's why they didn't give the place back. I don't understand why he didn't just let him back through again.
Every race series you watch out with Formula One, if you do crap like that, you give the place back. Because otherwise, but this is it, it's a 5 second penalty. That should be a 20 second penalty. Something that means that they will go, oh, you know what? I will give the place back. Thankfully, we didn't hear the bitching and the moaning that Red Bull gave yesterday to Mike Massey about, oh, well, we weren't sure about giving the place back. He should have given this place back, but they issued a 5 second penalty. They should put points in his license, try and stop it that way. But he said he wasn't given space. Now, it's fine. We can talk about drivers given space, same with Lewis and Max. Give them a space, the car on the inside or the outside, but the door's getting closed on you.
Yeah.
The guy in front is going to have to take the racing line, and unless some law of physics can change, he's maybe going too fast to give you that space. You've maybe put the car in a position that means there's going to be an accident because the guy on the inside has tried to defend it, taking in more speed than he wants to, and in turn, you either get an accident or you get pushed wide. It's maybe in some cases not even intentional. Hamilton tried to give Max space on the inside, had just come out of the pits, so... I'm not defending Hamilton, but I'm saying that is a possible reason for it. It did look like he tried to give him as much space, but we cold the tyres just fresh out of the pits and the adrenaline of Max bearing down on you.
Ew.
Other people will say that it was just Hamilton being Hamilton. You know? I don't know. It's not for us to really call it. The stewards are investigating after it. I don't think anything will come of it. Perez, 5 second penalty, and it cost him. Cost him at the end of the race. The 5 second penalty took him from third down to fifth. So at least there's some justice in the world. So out in front, we've got Ricciardo and Norris by this time. Norris has made short work of Leclerc in an overtake that was ballsy by no means. He's got two wheels on the inside of the bend. Grass is shooting up and he's just kept the foot in, planted it. And it is shown that the McLaren is a great car.
Yeah.
They've developed it. And I think actually the next year's car, because obviously they had to shoehorn in the Mercedes engine into that chassis this year. And I don't think the McLaren is as good as what it could have been if they had a bit more time to package it better. And McLaren were always about packaging the engine as best as possible. Next year, the McLarens have got a whole lot of potential.
I think, though, this actually sets the McLaren up for the rest of the season, though. Performance like that, and from the two of them. Because obviously we've done a bit of moaning about Daniel this year, about his performance. But I think this weekend, they've absolutely nailed it. And there's nothing to say they can't carry that performance and these sort of results forward for the rest of the season, and could actually put themselves in a really good position.
Yes. So the end of the race finished. Ricciardo actually took the win. Norris came in second. Norris did mumble and moan a wee bit earlier in the race that Ricciardo wasn't going fast enough. But the team spoke to Daniel, and Daniel seemed to pick up his pace. It might have just been a case of tyre management, and then getting the sort of giddy up from the team helped him. And by the end of the race, it was probably a comfortable enough win, but they were told not to race.
Yeah, there was a wee
towards the end.
Multi-21 in there.
Pretty much. And at least Norris then listened, as opposed to pulling a Vettel.
Yeah.
Bottas, we've got to take a hat off to Bottas. I mean, he won the sprint race. They stuck him in 20th and he comes home in third. Okay, a couple of people obviously DNFs and stuff. But where's the Bottas performance we saw the day? We've not seen it.
We've not seen it for 18 months.
Forever, yeah. He comes through and actually shows us the potential.
I mean, I don't know if he's maybe just kind of freed up. They interviewed him just the other day. He was talking about how happy he was. This is the first time that he's felt settled because he's got a multi-year contract.
Yeah, yeah. It must be a relief for him, but I think it's also a case of he feels that in Mercedes he's never going to be.
Oh, he was never going to be the number one driver.
Yeah, and for him to think otherwise, because when we watch Drive to Survive, he does think.
Yeah.
But he's got to tell himself that, otherwise
there's no point in turning up.
So Bottas finished third, Leclerc in fourth, Perez with his 5-second penalty in fifth, Sainz in sixth, and then we've got Stroll, who's under investigation for going too fast under the virtual safety car, Alonso. And then we come to Russell. Another great performance for Williams. I get that there was quite a few DNFs, but you've got to be in that position in the first place. But Russell has bet an Alpine, he's bet an Aston Martin, he's beaten Gio although Gio spun at the start, but he's beat him in an Alfa Romeo, and more points for Williams.
Yeah, yeah. He's, again, doing well. It was a fairly quiet race for him. You never really seen much of Russell at all.
Quietly going about his business.
Vettel seems to have had a bit of an odd day.
Well, we spoke about Aston Martin before we came on air and sort of what their woes are. But I think as I said to you, I think it's more an issue that they're trying to spend as much money on next year's car and instead of trying to fix this year's car with the aero changes that Mercedes clearly have had to make it competitive. And they're fighting for a world championship, Mercedes, whereas Aston Martin would be maybe fighting for fifth to seventh anyway. And I just feel that they haven't developed the car, and it'll be a case of, boys, just wait for next year. That's what we're looking for. However, if Russell and a Williams can be beating these drivers, then you've got to ask, how little is Aston Martin developing that car? Have they done a Haas and said, you know what?
I like a polish and it's good to go.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, the Aston Martin's got the Aston Martin name out there, and that they're maybe just marketing based on that. The James Bond link, they've got people visiting the garage, Vin Diesel's in the garage with them, and I think Aston Martin's, it's a marketing campaign for them this year.
Could be.
Until next year, where they maybe can start to be challenging at the front again. We'll see if the blueprints for the Mercedes winds up in a wee brown envelope meeting that guy in
the car park.
Slide
under the door.
Yeah, well, the car park for Derek is the main place for meeting, I think.
That's just creepy.
Yeah.
I'll go with coming under the door.
Under the door, right. So we'll wait and see how that plays out next season, and what sort of technical tie-up Aston Martin have with Mercedes, or whether they get further apart. We don't know. They've still got the Mercedes engine. That's for next year. So in the constructors, we've got Mercedes actually has eked out to an 18-point lead over Red Bull. So it's 362 plays 344. And then we've got McLaren on 215 and Ferrari on 201. After last week's race at Zandvoort, it really was advantage Ferrari. They'd made hay while the McLarens were struggling at that track. This has obviously been reversed, and McLaren have really upped the pressure on Ferrari towards the end of the run into the end of the season for third in the championship. Mm-hmm. I have to say, it was a brilliant weekend for them. we saw the potential in the sprint race, as well as they had to go into the sprint race and actually make sure that they didn't lose positions. And they're fighting with what is our season-winning car from either Hamilton or Max Verstappen, which is no mean feat. And then both of them playing their part that we don't see. We've got Perez is away down and Bottas with his engine penalty. They're non-contention. And McLaren have done a great job keeping both cars in contention. And the fruit of the reward is that it's been 9 years since McLaren had a 1-2. And today, Daniel Ricciardo, who we have said needs to up his game, he needs to get on top of the car. And although...
Maybe it's because he listens to the podcast.
That'll be
Daniel has thought,
the guys are right.
I need to get my finger out here.
I need to... Oh, there we go. That makes it easier to drive. I'll tell you.
Two hands on the wheel.
Smells a bit, but... I think actually for driver of the day, there's not really anybody else we can talk about except Daniel Ricciardo.
I would actually, you know, I would have drivers of the day and go with Daniel and Norris and get the two of them.
All right, that's fair enough. We can do what we want. We change
can.
The rules.
We can.
Do whatever we want. Drivers of the day. Worst driver of the day?
Again, we could have a twosome there. We'll go with our two main drivers. Yeah, Max and Lewis.
You know, Derek's not on here, but when he did say it's Mercedes to lose, they did just that. They threw it away by putting him out on the track after changing a set of hards that probably didn't need changed, and they stuck him right out in the exact same spot. They can see, they can work out, even if it was going to be down to a second either side with a pit stop that could be 3 seconds or five seconds. Why take the risk?
It'll be interesting to see what they come up with as to the reasoning for bringing him in to go into mediums at that point. No idea.
It was Mercedes to lose, and they chucked it away. They did. Overall, not the worst race in the world. I think there was enough in there that we can actually be happy to have watched the race. Zandvoort just didn't do it for me.
I liked Zandvoort. I think purely because of the track. I think the layout of that track is fantastic.
But again, likewise, you watch any race series going around there other than Formula One, and it's a great race to watch.
Yeah.
You put on a Formula One car, and we have the problems. We saw it again this weekend, and it is that shift to the 2022 cars that we're crying out for. And I think, as I said at the start of this podcast, we'll come back next year, and this race will be a different kettle of fish.
Come to life.
Yeah. The next race for us is actually the Russian Grand Prix. I hate that goddamn track. I'm glad. I think we're only going back to Sochi for the next 2 seasons, and then we're off to Igor Drive or something, which is another Russian racetrack, which is, I think it's in the GT3 series and so on and so forth. And it is a better track because it was designed as a racetrack, as opposed to the path that the buses went round the Olympic Village with some curbs and barriers on it. So it should hopefully actually improve once we get there, but it's a couple of years before we have that. Again, we said... With next year's car, the 2022 cars, we might be looking at tracks that we go, Herman Tilke designed a right stinker here. And then we get these cars on it and we're like, wow, Herman Tilke, you're a genius.
I think we've known for a good few years now that the cars are the biggest problem. It'd be nice to see new cars coming on, cars that can race, cars that can follow each other and get within, you know, kind of half a second and not have their wheels start falling off.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to make a big difference.
The run in the rest of the season, obviously Zandvoort for McLaren is a bit of a bogey track. They couldn't seem to get set up and stuff. But looking at the rest of the tracks that we might get to, hope to go to, we've got obviously Russia, as we mentioned. We've got Turkey, we've got Austin, Mexico and Sao Paulo. We've got Interlagos in Brazil. Mexico City and that, there's still question marks over them, but Qatar, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and then Abu Dhabi at the end. I don't think there's going to be another bogey circuit for McLaren until the end of the season.
Doesn't appear to be.
After today, between Daniels, because his mojo must be really perked up after this, and as a team, him and Norris, I think to the end of the season are now going to demolish Ferrari. I feel that this... makes such a difference. It really does. So well done to McLaren. It's been a long time coming, and I think between Seidel and Zach Brown, the team has borne fruits that it sowed probably 3-4 years ago. getting shot of the first of all, the Honda engine, and then getting shot of the Renault engine.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they would have done it with the Renault engine this season. And
They've been a they're a team that you could never write off. And I think that's been the main thing. They've kept plugging away, and eventually it has paid off.
Well done to McLaren for today. That's it, folks. You can join us what will be in 2 weeks' time for the Russian... That's it, folks. Join us in 2 weeks' time. There's nothing really else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Stay safe, take care, and we'll talk to you soon. This has been a Beercat production for DNF1.